Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Assessing a person's legal matter often requires extensive interviews, review of contracts and documents, and research of the current state of the law on the issues involved. As a result, the information provided by the attorneys and guests of All Things Legal is given for informational purposes only. It is not to be construed as legal, tax, investment, or other professional advice. Communications with the attorneys on this program, whether verbal or digital, do not create an attorney-client relationship.
Doug Sinceri, Albert Nico, your Weekend Lawyers All Things Legal, hour number two on this Saint Sunday. So give us a call, 260-1870, or text us at 870-870. And, you know, Jack's been
very patient. He hung on over the break.
Right, and Albert's been finishing his last chapter on his treatise on trees, which you will be teaching at a law school, I'm sure, at some point.
At a law school near you.
Near you, and maybe even an online course. Okay, let's go to Jack. Got a question regarding trees. I'm so excited. All right, what you got, Jack?
Well, if a tree falls in the wood and no one's around to hear it, no.
Right.
Your book.
I almost had you in the dump because I thought I was wondering.
Well, if a man says something in the woods and his wife didn't hear it, is he still wrong? That was another one.
All right. Anyway, Albert. Albert said that one. Not me, honey.
I agree with the calls in the games. You know, if it doesn't affect the final outcome, you know, let it play out. I mean, it's horrendous of what's going on. I mean, I know officiating is a tough job, and you know, it's a judgment call. That's why they're there. But yeah, it's something's got to change.
It requires wisdom more than anything. Right. Wisdom, and that's, you know, that's what they should be testing on, is wisdom and not knowledge at all.
Well, and I've got a friend of mine who said, you know, the problem is you've got these 50-year-old part-time doctors and lawyers and businessmen that are trying to chase these young 25-year-old kids around and be in the right place at the right time. And, you know, and maybe they might have a little more wisdom than a 30-year-old. But I think if let's say you have some former players that go out there and become referees, they know the game, they play the game, they know what they feel like, you know, should and shouldn't be called, and of course should be trained. And you might do better off with younger officials who can be in that spot a lot quicker than an older person, just by virtue of, you know, their age.
That's just Commissioners Goodell continue to attempt to internally take down the NFL. But let's go to a tree question.
Yeah, and tree on a property line. What are my legal rights coming from my neighbor?
Well, I mean, if the tree is on the property line, do we know where it kind of originated?
Well, it's a massive oak tree. I've been here 2 years at my house, and, you know, the guy was, you know, talkable and stuff like this. I mind my own business. You know, if anything you do affects me and makes me work a little bit harder, I'll put the effort in. But through these couple years, you know, where the suckers came out, those branches have came over my driveway. It's a nuisance with the acorns that are dropping right now. Mm-hmm. And our driveways are right next to each other, and there's a 4-foot chain link fence. And I explained to the guy, I said, look, big tree, when they get older, it's more maintenance, you know, once you get it taken care of. And the guys came out, but they left some branches coming over.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, you know, I go out there every morning, hose off my driveway, front and to the back, and then I leave. And after that, the guy was difficult with me because when Barry came, every branch that fell on my driveway, I picked up and put out.
Right.
But he was being difficult, so there was one big branch, and this guy really does not care about what his property looks like as far as value.
Right.
So I took a branch and threw it in his backyard, knowing that he had to touch it. And he called the cops, and obviously it's his property. And then he told me, go F myself. So from this point on, I don't do anything unlawful. I do everything within the parameters.
Well, I mean, I think it's gotten ugly. Let me ask you this. As much of a pain in the butt as it might be, you know, there are, for, in terms of your own personal property value, do you think this beautiful, I mean, is it a water oak? Is it a live oak?
It's a live oak.
It's a live oak. I mean, you know, there are people that it's something you can't buy. So if I'm looking at a lot and I want a big, beautiful oak tree in my lot, I got to wait 300 years to have that. Whereas opposed to the lot down the street has no trees on it, right? So, you know, from your own perspective, and you know, don't cut your nose off to spite your face. If it's something that, you know, you get a blower and blow some acorns every once in a while, is it worth it to you to go fight this fight? Because I can tell you that I had an issue with a tree with a judge who is a friend of mine, actually, and he didn't want to hear it. He wanted to protect this large oak tree. And really all I wanted to do, the court to do, was determine ownership of the tree. My client really had no intention of cutting it down. He just wanted to sell the property. And so, but the court was very reluctant to say, you know, sure, Jack, go ahead and have this tree cut down, or I'm going to force the neighbor next door to have the tree cut down. And the problem is with a large oak tree like that, because it's so heavy and because it's got such a big canopy, you're going to have it trimmed, balanced, you know, on a balanced scale. You can't just, you know, lop off half of it because it's going to then be more likely to fall in his direction. So, you know, arborist has to come out. They have to, you know, kind of see what might be dead branches. And the standard is it affecting the peaceable possession of your home? Whether you just it's affecting your use of your property. So if it's growing into above your roof line, or it's about to, you know, when the winds blow, hit your roof, or it's a threat with it because the limbs are kind of dying and they're hanging over, you know, your garage, something like that, then you absolutely have the right to go ahead and demand that they have it removed or have it cut back. But just because it's dropping acorns, I mean, that's kind of what trees do. And so
I'm going to hold a call. Before you go any further, yeah. I'm going to hold a call. So I understand.
Oh, okay. All right, perfect.
What you just said, and where you cut creates suckers. Therefore, you're going to have new foliage where you cut to create.
Sure.
So I'm trying to keep these branches to where I have the aesthetic of the tree looking good.
Yeah.
That's not my issue. What all you just said, I'm taking. I have two large Natchez crepe myrtles.
Uh-huh.
And when an oak tree protrudes in the air towards that, it stops the canopy of a Natchez from actually filling out itself,
right,
and
right,
giving way to the oak tree, because
sure,
it's good.
It's taller.
Push the,
yeah.
Okay, so I understand all that, but I can go straight up on property line and cut everything off, right?
Actually, no, because if you know, and it's more difficult because the roots and the trunk are on,
extend out to the canopy.
No, but the roots and the trunk or on the property line, correct? Can you determine?
No. His tree is in the middle of his yard.
Oh, okay. Well, then if his tree is in the middle of his yard, then what you do is you say, this is affecting my property and my use of my property. Can you please have this removed? Send him a letter. Can you have that trimmed back? And if he tells you to go pound sand, then you can bring an action. What parish are you in?
I'm in Jefferson.
Okay. Go to the Justice of the Peace. Bring the issue to the Justice of the Peace and say, I've tried, here's the letter, I delivered it to him personally, or I put it in his mailbox, I tried to get him to cut this tree back, here are my photographs. So basically, you file a petition to have him trim his tree. It's 60 bucks, I think it might be 20 bucks to serve him, and then you go to a hearing and say, this is what I got to deal with every day. Here are all these acorns, here's that, it's killing my trees, it's affecting my property. I therefore,
it had taken the paint off my hood, and trust me, I had no problem with none of this. But when he told me to go F myself,
yeah, sure, I get it.
You know, my paint on my hood is gone. I didn't say not one word. I never complained about anything. Mm-hmm. If you're on your property and you're peeing in a fan and it's coming right back to your face, I don't care.
Right.
You're going to have to find out yourself. You do what you want to do. He used to blow everything in the street. I never said anything, called code enforcement. Now, right. I'm in the business, right?
All right?
And that's wrong. You just don't do that.
Go All see right. the justice of the peace and have them do it. You can't cut it yourself because it's his tree.
All right. Thanks for the call. Let's go to a break, Doug Santeri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers, all things legal. We'll be right back after this brief timeout. Hey, we're back. Doug Santeri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers, all things legal. Let's go to phone lines. Let's go to Cliff. Got a question regarding a phone carrier. All right. Hey, Cliff, you on all things legal. What you got for us, man?
My deal here is I just recently upgraded me and my wife's cell phones with our plan. If we turn in our phones in good working condition, the upgrade's for free, mm-hmm. and we get a new cell phone. Well, I went ahead and I upgraded. Everything was fine. I turned in the cell phones, and for about a month, everything was fine and normal. All of a sudden, I get a bill in for $900 saying that there was damage to the phones and that they couldn't get them to turn on.
Okay.
My question, I called up the carrier, told them I'm not paying for that because the phones were in perfect working order.
Okay.
My question is, if I don't pay this and I end up switching carriers and they ding my credit score, could I sue them for defamation of character?
I mean, you can sue anybody for anything, for any, you know, but what you got to weigh is the cost of suing versus the benefit. So, you could do that, but you probably end up spending more money trying to clear your credit than any cost of having that issue on your credit report.
And that's another justice of the peace thing as well.
Yeah. Now, what you can do from a pragmatic standpoint is if you switch. And on your credit report, you just issue a letter to the credit agencies explaining what occurred. So there's a notation on your file. So if somebody pulls it, or if you go get a loan for a house, you have a letter explaining the situation. I think, that would be covered. So that would be my pragmatic suggestion. I think what you have to decide is, what battles you fight and which ones you don't in court. And a lot of times you could win the battle and lose the war. And so, I would do that. I'd also ask for, there's called customer retention. I would ask for customer retention and say, look, if you do not fix this issue, I am switching to whatever other carrier. A lot of times they will go ahead and waive the cost. And so, if you call, ask for customer retention, you explain to them what occurred, and you're going to say, here's the deal. They have a whole department for this to keep customers and say, if you do not fix this issue, I will switch. And a lot of times they have to make a decision. And they'll say, okay, we'll waive this $900, which we're not going to collect anyway, probably, in order to retain a customer. So that would be my suggestion, is call your carrier, ask for customer retention, and keep it, deal with it before it gets to the point where there's a possibility of, negative credit ratings and switching over. So that's my pragmatic response. Defamation of character, you might spend, a lot more money trying to prove it than what the damages are.
I don't think it's a defamation.
No,
of
it's not. It's not.
It's a financial thing.
It's damage to your credit rating. That's what it is. It's not defamation per se. So I would try to. I would call your customer retention department at the carrier and see if you can work something out. And I'd say you about have an 80% chance it'll work out.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, let's go to Mark's got a question regarding non-compete, non-solicitation. Hey, Mark, you and all things legal with Doug Santeri and Albert Nico.
Hey, good morning. Good. I'm an attorney here in New Orleans, and I have a small law firm, and I've been in business for about 10 years. And about 4 years ago, I hired an attorney to run some of my Texas work. We do a very limited type of work. We only represent banks, only in regards to their consumer lending, mm-hmm. when their customer files bankruptcy. So I hired her to do it because I was trying to do it from here and it got too cumbersome. Well, we've expanded. We're now opening an office in Oklahoma, and I'm spending a lot of time taking her to my clients and having her meet the contacts and kind of grow the business in different respects. The question is, what protections can I invoke that she just can't one day up and take off and call the clients and say, hi, I've left that old firm and I'm starting my own and you should come work for me. I know we've got restrictions on non-competes with lawyers, but I don't know about non-solicitation agreements.
Non-solicitations are a little different. Yeah, non-competes, the courts are very reluctant to enforce them, and the Supreme Court's kind of weighed in on this because, of course, they govern the practice of law. You know, the client has the right to hire whoever lawyer they want to hire, right? And so it's their right to, you know, same thing in a succession. You can put it in a will that I want Albert Nico to be the attorney for my executor, but the executor is the client eventually, and that executor then will get to select whoever they want to be the attorney. And so non-compete is one thing. What I would do is, because you are going to different states, I would have someone familiar with those documents, so non-competes. I mean, we could certainly draft one for you here in Louisiana for the non-solicitation aspect of it. That's kind of getting into intentional interference with contracts and more civil side than if they start to download, you know, if they leave you and download all of your client contacts and download all of your forms and they take all of those things with them, you know, you've trained them, like you said, you've set them up. And so it's more of a civil action, really, for any lost profits that you may have had. But I would contact a lawyer in Oklahoma, a lawyer in Texas, and say, look, if you're going to be the person that's going to be handling these Oklahoma accounts, you're going to sign this effective Oklahoma. And so any action in Oklahoma is going to be governed by this document, and it's going to apply Oklahoma law. And then, you know, same thing for Texas and Louisiana. So you may have them sign two or three of those documents to kind of cover your bases and just make sure that those non-competes are effective and you know, valid in those three states or whatever state you're going to.
But it's something worthwhile trying to do.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because you know what? Even a lawyer, you know, they may be so busy doing what they're doing, they may not even research the issue as to whether or not they're valid and effective. You know, I mean, people make you sign a waiver of liability when you go on a horseback ride somewhere or you go on go play basketball in a league. And they make you sign this you know, limitation of liability and waiver for personal injuries. Well, they're of no force and effect whatsoever in Louisiana, but the vast majority of people don't know that, and so as a result, you know, they may say, oh well, I signed this thing, I'm out of luck.
All right, thank you so much.
All right, Mark. Thanks for calling. Let's go to a few texts. I have a text that says, "Hi guys, my father's in his 90s and he has the beginning of dementia, but nothing has been put in any kind of medical documentation by a physician. He is taken care of by VA because he's a World War II vet. My question is, would I have any problems getting a power of attorney over him, and would I have any problems trying to make some changes in a will?" The question is...
the very first line of the text is the question.
Yeah. Is you can sign legal documents with dementia depending on what stage and whether a doctor would determine that at that time he would have the cognitive capacity to understand the consequences of what he's signing. Now, that is we struggle with all the time in succession law and interdictions, is at what stage of dementia do you cross that line where you don't understand the consequences of your actions and you're determined not to been able to do it, or you could be unduly influenced based on that condition. My suggestion would be this, is I would have it checked out with a doctor who's independent, he's not a hired gun, and say, hey, look, does he have the capacity to understand?
Or just even the treating physician.
The treating physician would be
the best person.
And say,
do
you think he has the capacity to understand and sign legal documents? If he does,
well, and again, I think too that if it's a power of attorney, it would be, I think a doctor would be a little more agreeable to do that, now, yes, as opposed to changing a will.
Now, right? If you're going to change a will and change up what he was doing before, that could be a problem. If you're doing something maybe from changing a executor to an independent administrator and doing some things to update, to efficiently process the will, but it's not really changing the will, that's one thing. But if you're going to change all the heirs and say, hey, you know, you exclude prior heirs and that sort of thing, it could be a problem.
Correct.
So
yeah, and so if that's the case, you know, then you know, you whenever that happens, I have the child typically who is bringing his or her parent to me regarding the will, and I have that child leave the room, and I'll ask that person, okay, why are you here? Mm-hmm. What do you want to do? And I want to have a very cogent conversation with that individual and make my own determination that I'm asking them appropriate questions, right, and they're giving me appropriate answers. I don't want them looking at the child and having the child answer, because as you get older, a lot of times you will rely on a certain child to answer questions for you, handle your affairs, and I get that. But I want to make sure that they know what they're doing, and we're going to execute this will, and it may even be outside of the presence of that heir, and I'll keep a copy of it. I mean, I'll keep the original of it, and that way I'll feel comfortable that they did it. Or they might say, hey, look, my son brought me here. I don't know that I want to be here, but I wanted to avoid the fight. I didn't want to tell him no. So all these types of things are swimming in the background. If they have no clue why they're here or what they want to do, I'll tell them, sorry, I can't. Right. I can't execute a change in your dad's will.
And you know, it's always a gray area when you start signing legal documents at that time when they have dementia. Mm-hmm. I mean, ideally, you'd want to have all, you know, power of attorneys and a plan done well before that, because it could even be a smart thing to do in the eyes of the testator, but it also gives an open door for disaffected or dissatisfied heir to come in and we got a problem there. So I would be very careful with it, be very judicious about it. I would first of all check out with the treating physician, and then, you know, to make sure the attorney goes through the protocol, because a lot of times if you don't get that, what you intend to do is trying to make the administration of the estate more efficient turns out to be a bigger fight.
And then we've got expert doctors, and we've got tons of medical records.
And we have, you know, have cases that have been going on for 9 years on these particular issues because mom and dad were signing documents in impaired states, and you know they're still fighting about it. So you have to be very, very, very careful with that. All right, let's go to. Okay, another text. Today is National Thank a Police Officer Day. And, hey, you know, especially people who live in the North Shore, they say, oh, absolutely, thank you. Thank you for law enforcement. You know, we just, Vinny Liberto.
Yeah, Vinny Liberto, God bless him and his family.
Here's a couple. I know that there's a bank account opened at a family bank account opened at Resource Bank.
Okay.
And also... I've heard reports that maybe one at Hancock Whitney. Seven children from grown to, I think, middle school, Mandeville Middle School, and a good guy. And, I live there. And
It's tragic.
It occurred less than half mile from my house where all this occurred. And the more I read about him, he was in Marine for 10 years. He was in NOPD, I think, for 8, and he was Mandeville Police Department for maybe 15 years. And he gave his entire life to make us safe. And, you know, I think it's very incumbent on, you know, when I go to court and I see the police officers, I thank them. I thank them for what they do. Anytime I see them out, I thank them because, you know, when they wake up and kiss their wife goodbye on the day, their family doesn't know whether they're going to come back or not. It's always in the back of their mind. And so, you know, they put their life on the line. They go through a lot of writing reports, you know, dealing with difficult situations, receiving very unfair criticism from certain, you know, people in our society,
in the media, elites
or what have you. And so, you know, God bless that, you know, family. It's just a horrible thing. And, you know, and the other thing, too, is especially in an offshore. I mean, after a week or two, you know, life moves on and you sort of go to the next thing. But, you know, I would always, you know, just remember
it was
them.
Pretty cool at Mandeville High School before the game on Friday night. They played Amazing Grace.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
In honor of the, you know, of the fallen Mandeville police officer. And, you know, it was a routine traffic stop.
No license plate on the car.
Pulled them over with what's going on. And next thing you know, there's a chase. And it's crazy.
All right, well, let's go to break. Doug Cinceri, Albert Nico, Your Weekend Lawyers. We'll be right back after this brief timeout. Hey, we're back. Doug Cinceri, Albert Nico, Your Weekend Lawyers, all things legal. Let's go to phone lines. Let's go to Albert. He's got a question regarding probate. Hey, Albert, you're in all things legal. What can we do for you, brother?
So your name is Albert as well, huh?
Albert's over there, yeah. We got two Alberts.
Good. I'm calling from Florida. I'm probably about 450 miles from you, but I'm getting a good signal as far
all right.
as
WWL. All right.
And I've been dealing with a probate issue. Mama died in April.
In what state?
In the state of Florida.
All right.
She died here and without a will. She didn't have a will. And I have two sisters that, so one of them's going to take it to probate. The complicating factor is that the sister that's wanting to be the administrator over the estate, they had power of attorney over her, similar to the person you was talking to before I came on the line. And they were ripping her off. She was getting about $2,000 a month in pensions. And every month, all the money was being drained out of her account for a couple years or more.
Okay.
And it was being run down into the red by about $600 or $700 every month. And I couldn't get anybody to stop it, to do anything about it. I called the Department of Children and Families, Adult Protective Services, the Sheriff's Department.
All right. Reported it. Yeah. You know, yeah, what you're going to have to do is now you have to decide whether the investment's worth it or not. You can make an appearance in the succession, and then you could request an accounting. You can request an accounting, or you could have the subpoena power and request a subpoena the accounts and do your own forensic evaluation as to whether that happened or not. Now, I will tell you this. This happens where they say, you know, mom died, so-and-so had power of attorney, and I think the money was being – you know, was not being used properly. So we spent quite a bit of money subpoenaing bank accounts, getting accountings, forcing the issuing of litigation. And, you know, sometimes you might find something, and a lot of times, sometimes you don't. So what you're doing is you're sort of digging for buried treasure in a way. I mean, you don't know what you're doing. So from your perspective, you'd have to hire a lawyer probably. You'd have to do some type of subpoenas and some type of inquiries under federal, you know, Florida law. And then you have to investigate it. Now, sometimes you can do all this investigation and find nothing. Now, we have had other situations where you did find that there was money misappropriated, and then we had to go to court to ask the judge to adjudicate what was taken or improperly or benefited by the other as an advance on the inheritance, and sought to have some equalization payments for the other heirs. So,
right.
So, but you're going.
My issue, the biggest issue with me is I'm 60 years old and I only have an SSI disability.
Well, that's an economic reality that is difficult to deal with. And I've
lived in this house for 60 years, you know, all of my life, and I'm afraid that they might try to sell the property or put me out of the house, and I don't know what to do about it.
No, depending on Florida law, they may have a right to do that. If they also have a ownership interest in the house, so that's, you know, you saw it in a tough spot there, but those are the options. Yes,
if I could prove or had evidence showing where they were stealing out of her account, which in my opinion it had to be theft. There wasn't any other way that it could have been.
It's just going to cost you some money to get
cost
there.
It's going to cost you money to get there, and you know, a lot of people have suspicions, but you have to prove it. Suspicions doesn't win the day. Proving it does, and you're going to have to prove it.
They had a card. They went to the bank and got, after they got the power of attorney, they went to the bank and got them a card, and Mama didn't even have a card.
Well, again, you're going to have to prove it, and you know, I appreciate the call, and it's, you're in a tough situation, Albert, and we wish you good luck. Okay, and let's go to David. He's got a real estate question. Hey, David, you're on All Things Legal.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good.
I'm going to try and lay this out as quick as possible. It's got a couple little things to it. I didn't know if it's real estate, what, but my fiance, she's been divorced about 7 years. Her and her husband lived in Pineville. They had two separate properties. They lived in one they rented. Mm-hmm. When they got divorced, they didn't do a property settlement.
Okay.
He lived in one. She rented the other one, moved to Mississippi. He filed bankruptcy on one of them.
Uh-huh.
She had no clue. Well, she always paid the note, got the renter's money, whatever.
Okay.
When these storms come through a few months ago, it tore the one that she had to hell. Yeah. So a tree fell through it. It was the neighbor's problem. They did a liability claim. The neighbor's insurance gave her money, what they said should fix it. She started fixing it. Another storm come through. That next one come through a few weeks later, tore all that stuff up. It damaged it even worse. Her insurance company said, we're not covering it. It's their problem. Now she's sitting there with, she has to pay people still out of the liability money, right?
Yeah.
She can't afford to pay the mortgage anymore because renters haven't lived there in 6 months. She's been paying the mortgage out of the liability money. And she kind of don't know what to do. The mortgage company's pretty much telling her, we don't care. She's right. Telling them, like, look, it's just as much, hopefully, your problem as mine. What can we do here? And she's afraid that,
well, here,
they're going to come after the liability money, too.
Here's the problem you have is when you don't – these are the kind of problems you have when you don't do a community property settlement because it becomes – these issues become entangled. What you're going to have to do is to go back and do a reconciliation. And you're going to have to somehow do a settlement. And after you do the settlement, all these issues have to be incorporated in right now. So at 9 years after the fact, it's going to be – there's no easy answers. The answer is you're going to have to do a community property settlement. You're going to have to do an allocation, and you're going to have to negotiate out how to deal with these issues. If you can't, you're going to throw it in front of the court. It's going to be very expensive, and it's going to be very difficult to allocate. So that's the short version. All right. Well, thanks for the call, David. Let's go to a break. Doug Cinceri, Albert Nico, your Weekend Lawyers, All Things Legal. We'll be right back after this brief timeout. Back. We've got about 2 minutes. I wanted to give a shout-out to Tulane Football and Jalen McCluskey. What a great kid. A great kid. Now, I tell you, J.J. McCluskey, we had a little church function, and Aeneas Williams spoke, and J.J. came and watched with a couple other football players, and we had a little powwow in the back after with Aeneas, NFL Hall of Famer, who played at Forche. And J.J., dad had his phone out, and he's taking notes. And we're just talking about, wisdom we'd hear from, coaches and, Coach Parcells or whoever. And he's taking notes. And I was like, man, what you doing there? He says, when I hear football, I take notes, put them in my phone, and I categorize it, and I have it always available to me. And I said, man.
Right.
I was really, really very impressive. And the job he's done with his son, Jalen. And the way Tulane didn't give up, I mean, on that last drive, they didn't give up the touchdown, and they kept playing for 60 minutes. And
yes,
God,
they
God
did.
God bless them.
And shame on the people that left at halftime.
It was
a great, great win. And, I got to tell you, I'm a little disappointed. I was watching WWL TV, of course, which is not affiliated with WWL Radio. And I was watching Channel 4 News, and the game was coming on at 6:30 on Thursday night, and they had no story about the Tulane game whatsoever. Jumped on the bandwagon after the big win, but I was just very disappointed that here it was Tulane playing Houston primetime game on ESPN Thursday night, and they mentioned nothing about it on the news.
Coach Bowden has said this several times. He told us that 22 years ago. He says, I will take who LSU bypasses in Louisiana, and I'll make a top 20 team.
Mm-hmm.
Which he did, undefeated team. And Tulane can be in a conversation They have the potential to be an old Miami, and it's a great trajectory for them. Congratulations, Tulane. So we'll see you next week on All Things Legal. Be good and be blessed. We'll see you next week.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.